and welcome back to Sprinkles of SEL with U2L, a podcast on social and emotional learning, wellness, neuroscience, and healthy habits for educators and anyone in the education space. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Namratha.
And we're your SEL team here at United to Learn.
Alrighty, so today's Sprinkle of SEL is all about something we have all felt, all gone through, anxiety. And for the educators listening, testing season is upon us, so we're not dealing with just general day-to-day anxiety. Many of us, including our students, are working through testing anxiety in particular.
Today's topics answer the following questions. 1. What is anxiety, and where does it rise from? 2. How does testing anxiety affect our students or children, their social, emotional, and academic competencies? And 3, how do we manage our anxiety effectively, especially on those testing days?
Okay. It's also important to note that for today's episode, we're referring to anxiety as the emotion or the feeling that we experience for a period of time. This is not the clinically diagnosed disorder that is anxiety. These two are not the same. And if you feel that you or someone you know are experiencing symptoms of clinical anxiety, we advise you to please go seek out a mental health professional's support.
Yes, and if you're one of our Dallas ISD educators, you have access to this through your free EAP benefits that help you support and do just that. So if you're unfamiliar, you absolutely can ask anyone on your leadership team or call the benefits department directly or reference the flyer that I'll link in the show notes.
So just setting the stage a little bit, I know I just sort of mentioned this, but just to recap, anxiety is that uncomfortable, unsettling feeling that arises when we perceive a threat that might occur, whether it's real or perceived. So this is when we are anticipating something negative to happen. And this can be a shifting scale. We might experience anxiety as a mere unease, or maybe something that's more moderate, that level of distress, or it might rise all the way up to panic.
Absolutely, definitely. So how do we experience anxiety? Well, what does that look like? It could look different from student to student or adult to adult, but some common symptoms include physical symptoms, which anywhere from a headache, nausea, sweating, shortness of breath, maybe you feel a little bit dizzy. Test anxiety can also cause panic attacks, which are an abrupt onset of intense emotions, fears, discomfort, in which one may feel like they're unable to breathe or that they're having a heart attack. Emotional symptoms may also occur. Those include feeling stress, feeling helplessness, disappointment, ruminating on negative thoughts, bad past experiences, just crippled with thinking about what will happen if I don't pass this test, that fear of failure. It can often make your mind go blank and can be difficult for other people to see that you're going through those types of things. Other symptoms you might experience would be behaviorally or cognitively. That would be difficulty concentrating. Again, back to those negative thoughts, that rumination, comparing yourself to others, or my personal favorite, procrastinating.
Oh, man. Yeah, I won't lie. I think I've definitely faced, I think, a lot of these different symptoms, again, at different times. I feel like for me, it's always like that pit that I feel physically in the pit of my stomach, that's feeling of just like stress. And I think those negative thoughts, depending on the context, they do win out at times, right? So it's just keeping mindful of the fact that anxiety sort of comes up for us in different ways. But why do we experience this too, right? Anxiety, I think it's, again, it's one of those terms that it's just sort of a scary word, I feel like at times, just because sometimes we don't know where it's coming from. And it's a big feeling. But it's an uncomfortable experience for that reason. It is your body just tilting you off balance just enough so that you're paying attention to it and that you can adjust accordingly. And I think we can be generally anxious without knowing why. I think it's, more often than not, a little bit hard to pinpoint where that anxiety is coming from. I know that for me, that sometimes that's enough just to cause even more anxiety because I'm like, why am I feeling this way? I don't know where it's coming from. And now I'm stressed that I'm stressed.
And then you're stressed that you're stressing over the fact that you're stressed. And it's just this cyclical thing that we struggle to tackle. Mm-hmm. So let's dive into testing anxiety specifically. I'm going to start this part with a little anecdote of a very sweet, sweet kiddo that I witnessed have a full-blown panic attack while I was student teaching in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, forever ago. He's probably an adult doing very well right now. I hope he is. But there was such an intense amount of pressure on the children to perform on this test that the day of testing, this was typically a very jolly, cheerful child. He was hiding in his sweatshirt. And when we finally coaxed him to come over to the door and just have a little personal check-in, he felt like he couldn't breathe. He was explaining that he felt like he was having a heart attack. And then he started sobbing and he was like, I'm not going to pass the fourth grade if I fail this test. And I think I'm going to fail this test. And we had to pivot and make another plan of action. And so I start with this for all those educators or parents that really want to stress the importance of tests as we're hitting testing season. But I also encourage you to be mindful of what that type of pressure looks like and how you're applying it and how the children around you are internalizing it. Because this was coming from, yes, of course, the school and all these incentives to do well on the test, and he had his goal. But additionally, at home, his dad was understanding that if he did not pass this test, he was not going to pass the fourth grade. And his dad was very clear that that is an expectation they will never face as a family. And so there was this very large amount of pressure on this student who was terrified he would not perform well enough. And he could, and he will, and I don't even honestly remember what he ended up getting on the test. But I do know he went on, he passed the fourth grade, and all was well. But in his life, like, his whole world stopped that morning of the test. And had an adult in his life not taken the time to call him in the hallway and help him calm down, call his dad, and clarify some of the intense emotions he was experiencing and understand them, I fear that we could ruin testing for the rest of a child's life if we do not handle some of these topics the best way possible. So, with that being said, testing anxiety is a form of performance anxiety. You may also relate to feeling this before you play a big game or if you have a big chess match. It's that level that rises internally that really focuses on why our performance really matters. And there's this amount of pressure, immense amount of pressure to do well. And we're so worked up and anxious about our performance that this type of anxiety then in turn hinders or can hinder our ability to perform well in the first place. So essentially, worrying that you won't do well makes it harder to focus, cloud our judgment, and can impact our performance. Testing anxiety can arise from fear of failure, a lack of preparation, high pressure to perform well, perfectionism, and poor test history. A resource for parents and educators is by the author Julia Cook, who is so sweet. I met her personally a couple of years ago, invited her to a conference to speak. So Julia, if you're listening, hi, I hope all is well. But she has a really great book for educators and parents to use called The Anti-Test Anxiety Society. And she does a really great job anecdotally taking children down the journey of what it feels like, what it looks like, what it sounds like if you're having testing anxiety, and then ways to go ahead and overcome it. A quote from her book is, "What if I get every question wrong? I don't get any right. I just know I'll get a bad grade on the test, so I don't even want to try." And if you're a parent or an educator, have you ever heard your child say that? Or you, have you ever looked at that daunting test at some point and thought, I'm not even going to try. There's no point. We don't want our children to feel that way. So this is a really great, soft, fun, easy way to bring up the topic of testing anxiety with your children.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out, Lauren. And I feel like that's the thing. It's like I listening to that and hearing it phrased that way, like, I know this book is aimed for kids, but I definitely saw myself in that wording even, because there were certain things that I've had deep-rooted sort of just sort of sustained anxiety about on different things. But it was that sentiment that, why should I even try? Because I was so scared that I was going to fail. That should never be the case for anyone, right? Thinking a little bit more about just, we feel anxiety as emotion, but there's been a lot of research actually that's come out connecting the dots on how our students are experiencing anxiety and how that plays into academics. So there's been a lot of research that's shown that lower student performance has been associated with their higher anxiety levels. But what's been interesting is that this is sort of also a bit of a bell curve type of relationship between anxiety and performance. So students in one particular study, they found that in students with a mid-level of anxiety earned the highest exams in their classroom compared to their peers who had either little to no anxiety or like the highest amounts of anxiety in that room.
So Namratha, are you saying that some anxiety might actually be a little bit of a motivator?
Wow, Lauren, that is exactly what I'm saying, right? It is good to feel a healthy amount of anxiety. So this is not too little in the sense that you're almost apathetic, right, to what you have at hand, but also not too much that it's crippling, that fear. So just enough, a little bit of anxiety just to push ourselves a little bit forward so that we can prepare for that test in a way that we know that, you know, we're ready to face that situation. Just enough that we can orient ourselves to that situation that we find ourselves in to be able to adapt accordingly. So I want us to now take a minute and just think back to the last test you took. So I'm thinking more like a sit-down test with pencil and paper, although I realize that, you know, the last test a lot of us might have taken might have been over computer as well. But just take a minute and think through what that last test might have been. For some of us, it might have been years ago, though. You are waking up that morning and your first coherent thought is, oh my gosh, I have a test today. So you're brushing your teeth. You're getting ready for school. Let's say it's at school. Maybe you're cramming some studying in on the ride there. But all throughout the day, you have this constant feeling of dread that you have that test coming up. And you know you've studied, you know the answers, but the feeling of dread rises and rises over the course of the day. So maybe your hands are sweating. You might be feeling that pit in your stomach, or you might be feeling that headache come on. You might be remembering all the past tests that you know you didn't do well on, and you're ruminating on that. And that compounds that feeling of helplessness and stress and fear as a result. And finally, you sit down to take that test, open it up to see the first question, and maybe you've done everything else right. Maybe you're studied, maybe you got 8 hours of sleep, and you had a good breakfast, and you did all the things that you were supposed to do. But finally, you sit down and you panic. Are you ready to take that test after the morning you've had?
I know I'm not. I would definitely have to implement some strategies to bring myself back down. So particularly now at this time in April for us in Dallas, we start STAR testing next week. So while we're thinking about ourselves and our children, there may be some feelings that arise that correlate to the symptoms we previously described, compounded by things that have happened in the environment, in the community, in the national news. And maybe you didn't get that 8 hours of sleep, and maybe your students were up later than they were supposed to, helping their children with homework. Maybe something happened at home that morning and threw them off balance, and they're taking that into their day with them. Maybe they had a fight with a friend. Maybe they had a fight with their parent before they came in. And now the test is in front of them, and that is not the only thing that they're stressing about. And we know, in addition to the expected and typical occurrences that can affect your day-to-day, we also have students and staff who might have learning differences and abilities, neurodivergent people, emergent bilinguals, students who may be experiencing mental health issues, stress, trauma, just to name a few. All of those factors also impact one's ability to manage their emotional health and our students, specifically, their academic performance. it's this anxiety and the self-confidence that they experience when they're sitting down for one more test. So as educators, parents, people in the education space, what do? We have to help figure out our children how to manage their testing anxiety. So apart from step one, which is ensuring that the students are prepared with the content that's going to be on the test, some other steps include worry stones or stress balls, something tactile, calming and self-soothing strategies, such as reciting meaningful chants or mantras, the Anti-Test Anxiety Society book by Julia Cook. TEST stands for Think Every Situation Through, not terrible every single time, like the little girl in the book says. And ask our kids how they're feeling. This is a big one, but it's one that can definitely be overlooked. Approach the topic head on with your child or your students. Discuss those feelings they have, name them, and now we can tame them. Help them find strategies that will work to help them address those feelings they may not want to experience when they're taking a test. So students may not even know what they're experiencing is testing anxiety. They may not have that vernacular yet. And so here's an opportunity and a space to really teach them about it. There's a lot of research around, you name it, you tame it. And so here's an opportunity to teach your children about it and increase their toolbox. You can also work to increase their confidence. Practice that growth mindset. Another shout out to Julia Cook, Bubblegum Brain. That's a great book about teaching children about their growth mindset, building their confidence, having them get excited and say, you got this, and to the point where they believe it. Teachers could also use post-its to send little messages of love or encouragement. Parents may send notes in lunchboxes or via text messages. And also ensuring that you're transparent with your students by introducing them to the concept of their own mindfulness toolbox with strategies they can implement mid-test, such as flower breathing, grounding strategies, certain stretching strategies, resetting your vagus nerve like we talked about in the previous episode. Empower your children to know themselves and to know what works best to help them through stressful situations and help them self-soothe.
So that is on anxiety for now. But for an emotion that comes up for us constantly, we do want to be able to give it the proper attention it deserves and it demands. So join us next week as we talk about one strategy in particular that can be used to manage our anxiety, our loci of control. Now, before we close out, we want to just take a little minute and maybe do a quick mindfulness moment. Lauren, do you want to go ahead and do that?
Yeah, for sure. So the book that I mentioned in one of the previous episodes that I am reading every day, it's called A Year of Mindfulness for Beginners, Daily Mantras, Meditations, and Prompts by Lee Papa. Today's entry, the day we're recording it, I'll read to you. It says, while we weather with winter months, we trust that spring will arrive again. We can ride out the less than optimal bumps along the road of life and with the same understanding of renewal. Take time to journal and reflect on those challenging times from the past that seemed never ending. Did you spend time and energy on needless worry? How could that time have been better spent? How will you spend your time if you're faced with a similar situation in the future? And so I want to just close out today reminding you spring is upon us, lots of spring cleaning and just opening a new mindset. And I would encourage you to reflect on something that was challenging for you in the past that now you can look back with a leveled head and say, maybe I could have done this. Or if that happens again, I know I could try this.
Anything just to be able to make that as a commitment for yourselves too, right? Which, speaking of, before we close out, let's just think about what our commitments are for this week. Lauren, what's yours?
Yeah, so I am currently reading/listening to a new book called How to Keep the House While Drowning, which addresses the best ways to keep your house together, some self-care tasks, not chores, as the author calls them, and also brings some brain science into the process of cleaning, which obviously I find fascinating because everything's all connected with emotions in our brain. And so I'm going to read that and start implementing some new spring cleaning practices.
Hey, awesome. Mine is a little bit, that sounds like a great book, first of all. I think I need to get that.
Yes, I'll link it in the show notes.
Perfect. For me, I think mine's actually this week a little bit about being more mindful and more present in the moment, because I found myself doing this where like somebody will come up to my desk and they'll be trying to say something. And then while my eyes are maybe still with them, my hands are still typing. And I'm not even looking at
my phone. She has not done that to me at all.
Can tell the sarcasm. So I do need to be a little bit better at that. And that's just my commitment for myself, and to also honor and respect those conversations that I have with the people around me as well.
So please like, subscribe, leave us a review. We are dying to read those reviews. Maybe we'll read and feature some on the pod. Also, if and when you do that, you will be entered to win a prize if you're from one of our Dallas ISD schools. So send us a message on Instagram, social media platforms, which are all at United to Learn, or send us an email directly at sel@unitedtolearn.org.
From your district email.
Yes, that does help us.
But yeah, that does help.
Thank you for tuning in. As we close out, I want you to know that you are loved. People care about you. You are special to this world. You matter. You make a difference. Your voice is important. And your feelings are valid. And on that note, we love you, SELEs. See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Take care, you guys.